Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Well, we're about halfway through the third chapter of Ecclesiastes, in which we are learning to live in the light of eternity as the key to a fulfilling life on earth. A wonderful message, powerful message. Too bad that too many people overlook the book of Ecclesiastes because they find it difficult, and it certainly is in a different style, a different format, a different way of communicating these truths than what we find in other books of the Bible. But it's well worth exploring to get to the heart of this message. And in chapter 3, there are two main instructions, and then a lot of subpoints underneath, but the two main ones are, in order to live in the light of eternity, and to have, which is the key to a fulfilling life on earth, number one, you need to understand the appointments of life, and number two, you need to live in the light of eternity. Understanding the appointments of life is to recognize that it is God who controls all of the details, all of the appointments of our lives, both the normal ones as well as the exceptionally perplexing ones. And the sooner we understand that and accept that, the better off we'll be. But number two, we need to learn to live in the light of eternity, and that's the last part of chapter 3. And the question is, how do we do this? And there are a number of subpoints that help us with that. And the first one we examined on the broadcast yesterday, and that is namely to accept life on earth as a gift from God. Be content with the life that God has ordained for you. And when you do, you can enjoy the good things that God provides when you view them as His gifts. Oh, there's so much wisdom in that. I want to be careful that I don't end up teaching what I taught on the broadcast yesterday, but there is so much wisdom in this, to accept life on earth as a gift from God and learn to be content with the life that God has ordained for you. That is an essential component to having a fulfilling life on earth. If you don't learn that, you are never going to be satisfied. Never. It will never happen. You'll go through life continually frustrated, continually unhappy, continually unfulfilled until you learn this lesson. Well, we need to stop and welcome you to this Wednesday, August 5 edition of the Beacon Broadcast. And I need to thank those whose financial gifts keep us teaching on this station. Now, that last one comes from verses 12 and 13. Solomon, the author of Ecclesiastes, writing under the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God, writes, "I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God." Enjoy what God has given. Be content with the life that God has ordained for you. I am certain that the reason many, many people are unhappy with life is because they keep looking over the fence at other people and coveting what other people have. In fact, there's a whole there are whole industries that have been developed based upon the premise that people are going to always desire what they don't have, and they're going to always covet what other people have. So there's a whole advertising industry that is based upon that premise. And a great deal of advertising is to try to make you unhappy with what you have so that you will purchase what they want to sell you, which they will try to convince you that you need this to make you happy because whatever you've got now isn't suitable enough. So whatever it may be, from cosmetics to clothing to automobiles, you thought yours was okay until you kept seeing these advertisements on television that told you that you can't be happy with that 3-year-old car that you're driving, or 5-year-old car, or whatever it may be. You've got to have a new one. It'll take that to make you happy. And I don't know how old you are, of course. I've got people listening to this broadcast across the whole spectrum of life. But I'm sure that if you are as old as I am, you've come to realize that these things don't ever fulfill. When you acquire that new car that you think is going to fulfill you and make you happy, it's not going to be long until you're going to be thinking about upgrading. And if that's your focus in life, it takes these things to make me happy, to make me fulfilled. You are never, ever going to find fulfillment in life. You say, how old is the car you're driving? It is, I've got to stop and think, 14 years old. And I'm happy with it. I love it. And then I've got another, I've got two cars, and they're both 14 years old. And one of them is my daily driver, and one is one that I just use occasionally, but they are both 14 years old. And I'm totally satisfied with both of them. I'm not looking to upgrade. I don't need to upgrade. They are fine. Now, I recognize that sometimes cars fail mechanically, and you have to make difficult decisions. When a car gets to be 14 years old, it's not worth very much on the used car market, and there are some repairs that may be more expensive than the car is worth. I know there's those kinds of considerations, and there eventually there's going to come a time when you are going to need to upgrade. I know that, in order to have dependable transportation. But this thing of being continually dissatisfied, always looking at what the other person has and why don't I have that, not only is a lot of commerce, a lot of merchandising based upon that weakness in human condition, but a lot of politics is based upon that too. Deliberately trying to make people envious of what other people have. You don't have enough. This may shock you when I say this, but I've never quite understood what is the big problem with this so-called wealth gap between the wealthy and the not so wealthy. And we're told, oh, it's getting bigger, it's getting bigger. Of course, it's also in recent years it's actually shrunk. You don't hear as much about that. You don't see headlines about that the disparity between the wealthy and the middle class or whatever has shrunk. But it's growing, it's bigger. That's a big problem. I remember discussing this with a college professor, university professor, one time several years ago. And I said, why is this a problem? Oh, it's obviously a problem. Why, you can't have this. You can't have this growing disparity between the rich and the people that aren't so rich. And my response is, well, what difference does it make? It doesn't matter what somebody else has. The truth of the matter is that everybody in America is better off than nearly everybody else in the rest of the world. Honestly, Travel with me to some of the places I've been, and you will find people who will think that what we consider to be people in poverty in America are rich beyond imagination. They cannot imagine living like people in America do that are considered poor. So, but what does it take to make you satisfied? Well, it always takes a little bit more. What does it take to make you satisfied? Well, it takes that I've got to have what that other guy's got. And there never is enough. People are never satisfied. And it doesn't matter what it is, there's always something more you've got to have. So, I remember going down the road in an African nation I won't identify right now with a missionary friend one day, and I was looking over at a little village you would tend to call them grass huts. That's basically what they were. I can't say that it was grass, but they were just round huts with thatched roofs, and that was the homes where the people lived in. And some of them had satellite dishes. Go figure. Oh, it's hilarious. I remember being in another third world country one time and with a missionary, one of the men we were talking to was talking about how difficult things were in the village where he lived, because he said they didn't have electricity in his village. And he said, why, we have to walk to the next village in order to recharge our cell phones. And this was back a number of years ago. And I don't even know if I had a cell phone at that time or not. I might have. But, I mean, this was when cell phones were not even universally available, or at least if they were available, but they weren't. Everybody didn't have one in the United States. And I go to this third world country, and virtually everybody has a cell phone, even people who live in a village that doesn't have electricity. Now, what's the point? The point is that there's always going to be something else that comes along. Cell phones come along, and everybody's got to have one. Televisions come along, and everybody's got to have one. Computers come along, and everybody's got to have one. Whatever it is, everybody's got to have it. You got to have it. You can't be satisfied unless you have it. Got to have it. Got to have it. Got to have it. Got to have it. Stop. 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 Put the brakes on. And we're talking about the key to a fulfilling life on earth, and how that living in the light of eternity is the key to a fulfilling life on earth. And it begins by accepting life on earth as a gift from God. The life you have is a gift from God, not just the life, the fact that you are living, that God has given you life, but the details and circumstances of your life are all gifts from God. God has granted them. God has appointed them. God has ordained them. God has designed them for you. Why hasn't God ordained that I have a life like so-and-so? Even the disciples of Christ had that problem. When Jesus told Peter that he was going to die a martyr's death at the last chapter of the book of John, his first response was, well, what about John? What's going to happen to him? Is he going to have the same thing? And Jesus said, in effect, none of your business. This is what I've appointed for you. And if you will learn to accept God's appointments for you and not worry about God's appointments for somebody else, whatever they may be, you will have a necessary and a huge necessary component to living a fulfilling life on earth. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.